Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish. The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning, Moed Tov, Shavua Tov, Hoshana Rabba Tov. I don't know, where are we, Anthony?
I think we're in the middle of things. First of all, Shavua Tov, Moedim Lisimcha. Of course, we are on Hoshana Rabba. We'll talk a little bit about what that means as we lead into the next round of Chagim. It also means a two-day week for some of us, right? Because or a three-day week in some cases, because it's all a little confusing. But once again, we've started this week with a suggestion to Iran that they might want to check their mezuzahs, because another fire broken out in one of the Iran elite Revolutionary Guards research centers in the western part of Tehran. That was apparently last night. Three people were injured. Apparently the fire has been contained. Nothing more was really said about the incident. No reason was given for why the fire broke out. But of course, it's just one in a whole series of explosions.
Yeah, they just seem to be a bit careless there, don't they?
Who knows what's going on in all of these research centers, particularly focused around the Revolutionary Guard and around the nuclear program, all very, very strange indeed. And just a kind of a disconnected, unconnected comment at all. It's amazing to see what's going on in Germany with Angela Merkel obviously bowing out finally off the world stage and out of the chancellorship in Germany, and quite surprisingly, her Christian Democratic Union Party seemingly defeated in the election. So it's all change in Germany, not only in terms of the leadership, but also in terms of, it seems, the political party. A new one will take, it seems as if though there's going to be quite a significant coalition that will need to be formed there. Of course, the Israeli Foreign Office watching with eager interest to see how that transpires. The relationship with Germany in recent years has been good, particularly under Angela Merkel's leadership. But all of that might well change in the event that there's a new guard that takes over. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out.
Is it too early to have a look at what this might mean for Israel?
I think it is too early, simply because it's really not clear who even will be the chancellor, even though the opinion polls, the exit polls in Germany have shown a slim majority in favor of one of the parties. But I think it's going to be for the first time that any German party will actually govern with less than 30% of the vote having been received by that party. So this is just a trend that we see around the world. I mean, Israel's been suffering with this for many, many years already, but a trend around the world that we see much, much lower majorities coming out of elections. Once upon a time, you know, there was a clear winner in an election and there was a clear loser in an election. And these days, we seldom see that. It's much, much slimmer in terms of the majority, and much more required for coalitions to be formed rather than to have a single governing party. I remember the days, you know, in UK politics, for example, which is a classic one to watch, where either the Conservative or the Labour Party was a clear winner. These days, I mean, we've even had the situation where coalitions have had to be formed, and there's been really much, much lower majorities, smaller majorities earned in recent years, and that's certainly the case in Germany as well.
Yep, we'll certainly keep an eye on that one, as we will need to do. A number of clashes have taken place in the West Bank over the last few days, resulting in Israelis being injured and the death of at least five known terrorists. What do we know about these incidents?
So the first incident took place on Saturday night, when the IDF was sent into the area around Jenin in order to apprehend a known group of Hamas activists who were around that area. Defense Minister Benny Gantz said that the operation that was carried out by the IDF was one which prevented attacks being carried out in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. And this was a raid that was led by the Duvdevan counterterrorism unit, was also involved, the border police, Yamam and Yamas counterterrorism units, and also the Shin Bet were involved. And there were a number of different incidents that took place during the night, on Saturday night in that Jenin area. In some cases, the known terrorists who were being sought were apprehended without any incident. They simply gave up and they came into custody, when approached by the IDF. There was one particular incident where, the Hamas group that had been surrounded in a house in Jenin began opening fire against IDF troops. In the process, unfortunately, two IDF soldiers were fairly seriously injured. There are reports that they may well have been injured by friendly fire rather than by opposition fire. That hasn't been confirmed, but I've certainly seen reports which have suggested that the captain and the sergeant, both of whom were relatively seriously injured, may have well been injured by friendly fire. In the event, there were five known terrorists in that particular incident who were actually killed as a result of that exchange of fire. The IDF have come out saying that this was something that was essential in order to protect Israel against attacks that were being planned. So that was the first incident that took place on Saturday night. Then last night, a number of Israelis were actually injured when they were visiting Joseph's tomb, which is in the area of Shechem, in the area of Nablus. Apparently clashes and firefights broke out between Palestinians and Israeli security forces. There were apparently 500 Jewish worshippers that had gone to Joseph's tomb. This is usually something that's done in coordination. It's not just we'll turn up and try and break our way into an area which is already very, very sensitive. On the one hand, it's a Jewish holy site. On the other hand, it's located right near the area of Nablus, which of course is under the Palestinian Authority area control. And so that is usually something that is done with prior coordination. In the event, unfortunately, because of the tensions that are evident in the area following the clashes on Saturday evening, there was another clash. There were stones that were thrown. There was live fire that was exchanged between Palestinian and Israeli security forces. Two border police officers were injured by Palestinian rioters. We understand that their injuries were relatively light, not seriously injured, fortunately treated by an IDF clinic around the area. There was also damage caused to an armored vehicle belonging to the Israeli border police. But obviously, a heightened tension in that area right now. And some of this, I think, even is connected in a way to the recapture of those prisoners who broke out of Gilboa prison and really raised the temperature of the entire area. People coming out, people feeling a little bit angrier about things, and certainly heightened tensions. And now, as we go into another Chag, another holiday period, there will certainly be increased border patrols, police, IDF security in those areas in order to protect Israelis who would be out and about celebrating the holiday, and of course to try and keep as much peace and calm as we can in the area.
Mm. Do you think that any of this or these incidents perhaps were some form of attempt to balance the potential embarrassment, or what must be some embarrassment, about the escaping prisoners over the last month or so?
When you say embarrassment, you mean embarrassment on behalf of the Israeli authorities. I'm not sure that we can really say that. I mean, obviously there was an absolute intention to recapture those prisoners who had escaped from Gilboa prison. There was a lot of embarrassment surrounding that particular incident. And I think that the only thing that the Israeli authorities could really do in order to respond to that was simply to recapture those prisoners and to make sure that, you know, the message is sent very, very clearly to the prison population in Israel that escape is not an answer, even if you do manage to escape, and that's very unlikely now with the increased security that we're seeing in Israeli prisons. Even if you do manage to escape, you have nowhere to hide. And that message was said very, very clearly. I don't think that there was any requirement, need, intention to somehow revenge that any further. But we do see increased Hamas presence in the West Bank in particular. We're, you know, obviously used to seeing Hamas present in the Gaza Strip, and we're used to seeing tensions from Gaza from time to time. And in fact, as a result of these incidents over the past few days, there was an expectation that there may well be renewed rocket fire from Gaza. That has not transpired, at least not as yet. But we're also seeing a lot of Hamas presence within the West Bank. And I think that that's where the Israeli authorities were a lot more concerned, because there's much freer movement in and out of Israel from the West Bank area, and that could potentially present a security threat to Israel.
Right, right. Interesting, interesting indeed. All right, other stories that we wanted to follow, of course, the fact that the Prime Minister was, is he still in New York?
He is currently in New York, and he's due to give his presentation live to the United Nations General Assembly first thing in the morning, New York time, 9 a.m. He's scheduled to make his presentation. That works out to be a 4 o'clock in Israel, 3 o'clock in South Africa later today, which means we will be able to watch that for people who are observing the Chag later this evening. We will be able to watch that live from New York as the Prime Minister makes his presentation to the UN General Assembly. Obviously, his maiden speech to the UN General Assembly. And quite a lot has already been made public about what the Prime Minister will be saying and what he will not be saying to the UN General Assembly meeting later today. One of the things that he's trying to avoid is to somehow link us with the Palestinians and make us, as he calls it, Siamese twins. There's been always this indelible link between Israel and the Palestinian issue and the Palestinians in general, and he thinks that making us Siamese twins, which is the term that he uses, is wrong and is unhelpful, and he's going to try and use his speech to somehow de-link the two issues and to try and present Israel in a much more global context rather than to link it, as has been the case up until now, so closely with the Palestinians and with the Palestinian issue. And that in those terms, he doesn't plan to respond at all to comments made by Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas in his speech last week to the UN, in which he gave Israel a one-year ultimatum to withdraw from all of Judea and Samaria and from East Jerusalem. So apparently the Prime Minister is not planning to link that in any way to the speech made by Mahmoud Abbas. And he's also going to try to link it more closely to the Iranian issue, in the sense that he's going to try and talk about actions rather than words as far as Iran is concerned, to try and get the international the international countries to speak about actions against Iran. I mean, one of the interesting things about Iran is that the International Atomic Energy Agency had been conducting these inspections that had been agreed upon in the middle of September to replace cameras that had been broken by Iran, cameras that had been set up by the International Atomic Energy Agency to monitor activities in Iran's nuclear facilities. And then when they came to this agreement that the IAEA would go to these facilities and replace these cameras, they turned up at one particular facility and they were denied access and they were denied the right to replace the cameras. So this is all on the record, and the question is, what is the international community doing about that now? It's all words, no actions. And so apparently Prime Minister Naftali Bennett will be talking about actions rather than words. And he's also going to try to talk about Israel in the context of the Abraham Accords and Israel in the context of the COVID pandemic, and what Israel's role has been in trying to create a more global presence for itself rather than link it so closely to what is happening within the Palestinian Authority area. Interestingly, 300 Iraqi leaders have been calling to normalize relations with Israel following what they've seen as a very, very successful effort by Israel to sign up with other Arab countries as part of the Abraham Accords. And indeed, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett did meet with representatives from Bahrain and from the United Arab Emirates during his time in New York on the outskirts of the UN General Assembly meeting, in order to somehow just reinforce those agreements and to represent how successful it's been for at least from an Israeli perspective to enter into these agreements. So that's all later today at the UN General Assembly. No props, we're told. No props. This is going to be a speech by a grown-up. Those are the words that we've used, rather than the props that we've seen in previous years. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Absolutely. We've got only 2 minutes left, but tell us what Israel has one day festival here in South Africa. Of course, we have two. What does this mean now? What does the next 24, well, starting this evening, 24 hours or 25 hours look like?
Yeah, so I mean, this Shmini Atzeret is quite confusing for many of us. What exactly is Shmini Atzeret? Is it part of Sukkot? Is it a Moed, a Chag Bifnei Atzmo? Many of us are confused by that. Don't feel alone if you're confused, because apparently even the Talmud is confused about whether it's a Chag Bifnei Atzmo or whether it's just an extension of Sukkot in order to try to continue the celebrations of Sukkot. And of course, in Israel, we have the added confusion of the fact that Simchat Torah, which is not a Chag from the Torah, but in fact is a Chag, a rabbinical Chag, which has been added on, and it's all in the same day. So whereas we had the Hoshanot this morning and the Hakafot for Hoshana Rabbah generally this morning, that was a warm-up, because tonight we will also have the Hakafot for Simchat Torah, even though it's also Shmini Atzeret, all a little confusing. And tomorrow night, the Hakafot Shniot, which is a real party after the end of the Chag, which is a participation in the seven processions, the seven circles that are done for Simchat Torah in the Jewish community outside of Israel. And of course, we participate in that tomorrow as well, even though it's not a Chag. So a happy day all in all.
Absolutely. Another opportunity, and we'll take it.
Another opportunity to eat chocolates and to drink whiskey and to celebrate and to feel good. And the last opportunity, at least for the foreseeable future, as we run out of our holiday period. But whatever you're going to be doing over Shmini Atzeret and over Simchat Torah, I wish you a Chag Sameach. I hope that the chocolates taste good, that the whiskey tastes good, that you'll have an opportunity to rest and to relax and to, of course, celebrate. And I will be back on Thursday.